Welcome in, 8 o'clock. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. The Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Winery. Hope you're serving Talon Wine at your Thanksgiving table tomorrow. Chance to win a bottle of that today. Also Qdoba, because you're going to need to shake things up. Yeah, after all that turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce and all that, you're going to want something different. And Qdoba is there for you to help shake you out of the leftover slump after Thanksgiving. All right, so text or call us today on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, 970-242-1340. Jim and the Buckeye Boy today. So send those texts in to us. Love to hear from you, 970-242-1340. Let's see. PJ Dozier left the Nuggets game last night. Mm-hmm. Fear that he had sustained a serious knee injury. Those fears, unfortunately, confirmed this morning.
He gone. Yeah, Wojnarowski on ESPN says the team fears that they are looking at a torn ACL for PJ Dozier.
Had to carry him off the floor last night.
Yeah, that's not good.
So you have Jamal Murray still recovering from his ACL. You have MPJ out with the back problem. Jokic misses another game with the wrist injury. Mm-hmm. Now PJ Dozier most likely done for the season.
Yep. So who's the worst watch right now, the Nuggets or the Broncos?
Whew, Nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, man alive, they were not very good.
Well, Aaron Gordon trying to guard Damian Lillard last night, and he wasn't even the guy that was the most lethal for the Trailblazers last night. That was C.J. McCollum.
Ah, it's my fellow Browns fan, C.J. McCollum. Yeah.
But Damian Lillard taking Aaron Gordon outside, hitting some big threes in that game. Gordon did have a big dunk in that game, but Jeff Green was your offensive star last night, 24 points. It's
Lillard
rough
and McCollum,
right now.
22 of 32 from the field.
Yeah, they were brilliant last night.
That's like 68.5%. It was insane.
You know, Michael Malone said before the game last night, the tide will turn. Things will get better. And he said, it's my job as the leader of this team to guide us through what we're going through right now. I challenged myself throughout the game. This was the other night when they lost to Phoenix. Even when it was getting ugly, to stay positive. Well, they've now dropped five straight. Well, the Avalanche, they've won, what, five straight? Mm-hmm. They take on Anaheim tonight here on the team at 6:30. Connor McGay, he will break it down for us later on. Also, Katie Wingy, we'll talk Nuggets coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. 9 o'clock hours, we've
kind of front-loaded.
Yeah, very, very front-loaded with Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, Katie Wingy, and also we'll have a Know Your Enemy talking Chargers football coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour. Okay, so plenty to get to on the program today. Some things you want to complain about can be from just your daily life, can be from some sports gripes that you have. Text or call us, 970-242-1340.
I think tonight is the last night of Maction, and so I'm very sad about that. Not like, gripe worthy, but still it's kind of a bummer.
It's a bummer.
I think with the exception of the 30th, every day of this month had football on it.
Of course, it'll be pretty much the case when getting to bowl season.
Oh, and tonight too, and apparently there's no Maction, so dang it.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's all over.
I'm sorry. Some news about the Broncos. The game with the Chiefs, the game at Arrowhead, has been flexed to a Sunday night game on NBC. So the Broncos will get two primetime games. Last one didn't go very well. They lost to the Browns 17-14 on Thursday Night Football. Original game was San Francisco at Seattle. That has now been swapped out in favor of the Broncos and the Chiefs. So Denver gets another primetime game. Broncos, just a little refresher. You know how many games they've lost to Kansas City in a row?
A lot, I think, is the official.
11 answer. Would be a lot.
Yeah.
They have lost 11 straight.
Ooh.
Their last win, week two of 2015. They've also dropped their last six games on Sunday Night Football. Last win was week 12 of 2015. Sunday Night Football and the Chiefs. Not a good recipe for the Broncos. So, of course, we'll have that game right here on the team. Don't forget Broncos Chargers this Sunday with pregame at noon, 2:05 kickoff for that one. So, I was checking out a piece that Nick Cosminder has written for The Athletic. And it has the title, Three Major Lessons the Broncos Have Learned in 2021 That Can Help Fuel a Future Climb to Relevancy. One of the things he mentions in here is the importance of maintaining quarterback flexibility. When you had fans that were screaming, what is George Payton doing? Why didn't he take Justin Fields? Why didn't he take Mac Jones? Why did he draft Patrick Surtain the second with the ninth pick in the draft? Those guys were there. Why didn't he do that? Could have addressed the quarterback situation. The feeling is that George Payton did not want to paint himself into a corner with a coach. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure George Payton's going to stay, Vic Fangio is going to be his guy moving forward, which means that staff is going to probably not be there as well. Wasn't that wowed by what he saw from Mac Jones and Justin Fields enough to go, yep, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. An unsettled ownership situation that he did not want to commit himself to developing another quarterback. And where Mac Jones may not have been, or Justin Fields, the right answer, the best solution.
Yeah, you're stuck with those guys for 4 or 5 years. And then you get into the issue that you had with Drew Lock or whoever else fails as a young quarterback when the refrain is always, well, he's had X number of coordinators the last few years. If you're planning for the future, sometimes you have to sacrifice the present. And I don't necessarily know if they just gave up and sacrificed the present, because they still tried to compete. They brought in some pieces. He had a really good first draft. He's assembling picks for the next 2 years. He's probably going to move on from Vic Fangio. I put that at north of 80% for me now.
I would agree.
You're going to bring in a new staff, a new coordinator. At that point is when you probably start looking at a quarterback, because it's a fresh start for everybody. Because you bring in a quarterback last year, Vic Fangio is already coaching for his job. He maybe doesn't play the young guy, because young guys struggle. Mac Jones is the outlier, not the rule.
But
right?
Also, let's look at what's happening with the Patriots too. How good their defense has been.
Mm-hmm.
How they've had a really good running game.
Yeah.
The pressure is not
OC's a little better.
Yeah, the pressure has not been on Mac Jones. You've got to go out and win football games for us, Mac. You just can't go out and lose them for us.
Mac Jones's numbers aren't eye popping.
They're good. They're fine.
He's got a very good completion percentage, but other than that, I mean,
he's not having a Justin Herbert year like last year.
No, they're 230 yards per game, a 94 rating. You know, 2 touchdowns to every interception. You know, not awful.
Good numbers, not great numbers, because he hasn't had to do the heavy lifting.
Right. Very middle of the pack numbers.
But good enough to have them right now in first place in the AFC East.
Right. He doesn't beat them, which is all you ask out of a rookie quarterback, which most of these guys you're not going to get. I mean, Zach Wilson wasn't brought right back into the starting gig because he was playing so well. Trey Lance is barely sniffing the field. The Jags suck. And Justin Fields has nobody to block for him. So, you know, I don't necessarily know if the Broncos are significantly better situations than some of them with the rookie quarterback, because Pat Shurmur's going to be gone at some point. Vic Fangio's going to be gone. And that rookie quarterback has to stay. And I think George Payton knows that.
And George Payton probably thought to himself, well, okay, we invest a pick in him, and he may not be the best fit.
Right.
Patrick Surtain as a cornerback is going to fit regardless. He's been able to contribute as a rookie. He's been starting as a rookie. And the feeling was that he was the best defensive player available when they selected him at number 9. And also, and it wasn't like George Payton didn't try to go out and get a quarterback.
No, that's what I mean.
I mean, yeah. They did. They ended up trading for Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. They kicked the tires on Matthew Stafford. Deshaun Watson before all the allegations came out. And so there were some conversations there. There was some looking at other options. The rumors about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there were things that went on where George Payton did try to improve that situation through a veteran quarterback.
And here's another nail in the coffin, I think, for the Aaron Rodgers to Denver situation, because we're talking about quarterback flexibility under George Payton. You don't have that with Aaron Rodgers. With Aaron Rodgers, he comes in and you cannot build for the future at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. He's already shown that. You can't, because you run the risk of upsetting Aaron Rodgers, and you're in the same spot the Packers are in right now. So that's one of the reasons I don't think he's going to come to Denver, because George Payton is a planner. George Payton is a guy who is always looking forward, always pushing the rock down the hill, so to speak. With Aaron Rodgers, you can't, without running the risk of pissing him off, whether it's real or just an Aaron Rodgers, you know, hairy little head. So I think that, you know, a Russell Wilson, I don't know, maybe there's some flexibility there. Some of your other veteran quarterbacks, I'm not sure. But a younger quarterback that they draft and invest time in, you can't do that this past year with the way the coaching staff, the expectations, and everything else. You had to go in a different direction.
Unsettled landscape.
Yep.
And look, Rodgers, I still think Rodgers is in play if it's a case where you feel like you're going to get 2 to 3 years out of Aaron Rodgers. But then you're right.
You can't groom a quarterback.
But what then? What, you know, how do you approach it after that? And like you said, how you walk the tightrope here of making moves to the future.
Yeah.
But you got to worry about how much you're going to upset that guy.
If you bring him in for 2 years, and 2 years down the road, he's still playing at an MVP caliber level or borderline MVP, you have to take into account how butthurt he's going to get if you try to groom the next starting quarterback, because at some point you're going to have to. At some point you have to get a young franchise quarterback. Everybody has to. And with the way the salary cap and the salary rookie salary slot works, that young quarterback contract is what allows a lot of these teams to build competitive rosters in the salary cap restrictions. You're going to have to get that at some point. Aaron Rodgers is not going to provide you that, because he's going to be $40, $45 million a year when you come to that. And you can't get a quarterback that is going to be groomed to be the future at the same time. So not only do you have the big, huge cap hit of Aaron Rodgers, you have the inability to plan for the future. That's just one of the reasons I don't think the Broncos are in play, especially with George Payton. If it was somebody else, if it was maybe John Elway still in charge, that might be. But I don't think George Payton is going to try that short-term gain at the risk of the long-term, because he didn't this year. He didn't try to go reach for a quarterback when there were plenty to have, because he knows that 5 months, 8 months, 10 months down the road, he's also going to be looking for a brand new coaching staff. And that's not going to help your young
quarterback. But let's get back to the thing that has the greatest impact on this. It's the ownership situation.
Yeah, that's huge.
I mean, how do you make moves, commit yourself to, whether it's Fields, Jones, whoever, and then that owner goes, like David Tepper did in Carolina, I don't like who you brought in. I don't like that guy as our quarterback.
Yeah.
And they moved on from Bridgewater, which, of course, Teddy ends up in Denver because of his relationship with George Payton. Still feel like it was a really good move in terms of what they gave up to get Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. But what do you with Carolina? They went out and they got Sam Darnold, right? They invested draft capital in trading for Sam Darnold. It looked like, okay, not a bad move early on when they got out to the 3-0 start. He started to play like hot garbage. He gets hurt. They bring back Cam Newton. Cam's put a spark back into this football team. And so what do you do now? What do you do if you're Matt Rhule? Because
are you going to be in the hunt for another quarterback?
Yeah. Because it's not like Cam's going to be a long-term answer for you. He's fine for now, and
no,
he might get them back into a position to maybe be a wild card team. But Cam's at his age is not a long-term answer.
No,
so you hit the reset button again. And that's what George Payton wanted to avoid here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not committed to Teddy Bridgewater past this season. Drew Lock, probably still a tradable asset to somebody. And so it does give you, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's Russell Wilson, whoever, it gives you the flexibility to make a move here.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that criticize, why didn't you go get Jones, Fields? That's the reason why, with all these other things we talked about. Something else that that in this Cosmender article that we've kind of learned about the Broncos, the work on the offensive line is far from done. Far from done. They've allowed a sack rate of 8.1%, ranks last in the AFC West, fifth worst in the league. It's the fifth worst in the NFL right now. They've allowed 38.5% of pressure on dropbacks. That's 30th in the league right now. I think it was a number, these are a couple of numbers you referenced the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Bears have given up more sacks than the Broncos. So, yeah, you drafted Lloyd Cushenberry, the third, who continues to develop into a really good center for this football team. Dalton Reisner seems like he's taken some steps back a little bit.
At the very least, has plateaued.
Yeah. Glasgow breaks his leg, and he really has not lived on the promise when they signed him to that big deal coming from the Detroit Lions.
No, he's Ian Desmonding his money.
Garrett Bowles, after getting the big deal and playing well last year, has been hurt and or has not played well.
Mm-hmm.
And Calvin Anderson, Bobby Massey, Quinn Miners, Natane Mute have been maybe some of your better guys lately in terms of that offensive line. It is far from a finished product on the offensive line. They're going to need to draft, bring in more competition through the draft like they did with Quinn Miners. And that's the direction George Payton's going to have to go. The offensive line is, while some additions were made,
mm-hmm.
there's still a lot of question marks about this offensive line for whoever ends up quarterbacking this team, which is what you've referenced.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Russell Wilson and I want to get traded, do I want to go to Denver?
I want to play behind this line at this point.
If I'm dangerous, I'm not sure I want to play behind this offensive line as currently constructed.
No, I don't.
And he's got to sign off on it. It's not like he
mm-hmm.
automatically will get traded and he can...
Right. He's got to waive that.
He's got to waive that. He has a no-trade clause. He's got to say, okay, I'm willing to go to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to sell him on that offensive line being good enough, because what's been one of his biggest gripes in Seattle?
We're having a run for his life.
The bad offensive line play. All right, a couple of things I want to get to. Mentioned the other day about Joe Flacco being very forthcoming about not getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Flacco got the start last week. Is out. He's on the COVID-19 reserve list.
Whoops.
Mike White is also out, because Flacco came into contact with Mike White, and so Zach Wilson will get the start for the Jets this Sunday. Also, that it looks like the NFL in St. Louis, we've talked about this a little bit, the settlement
mm-hmm.
in regard to the Rams leaving St. Louis, Stan Kroenke moving them to Los Angeles, that apparently that settlement is going to be made public on what's going to happen. One of the things that's been rumored is the possibility of a favored nations kind of status for the city of St. Louis, that they will be considered kind of like Cleveland was back yeah. in the day. Next expansion franchise, it's going to be you, St. Louis. That there's still the rumors of that possibly happening.
It's got a Tarantino-esque standoff to it. You have the NFL owners, the city of St. Louis, and Stan Kroenke all kind of, pointing guns at each other. And Stan could very well be like, I believe that the NFL said they would all help me cover the loss if I lose this suit. Stan could also meet with the city of St. Louis, that side, in mediation on his own and say, hey, what I'm responsible for, I'll pay. The league is going to take care of everything else. And then just leave the league to, I think Charles Robinson with Yahoo essentially called it a civil war between some of the owners in the league. And that would be fascinating. I don't know if it'd be good for the league,
but it'll be interesting.
Be hella fascinating.
Make for some good TV, no doubt about that. If you had camera in there seeing the owners fight over the situation with St. Louis. All right, we're going to talk a little toy run, because it's that time of the year that the Western Slope Hog 42nd annual toy run is taking place with Grand Junction Harley Davidson. We have Rumel joining us this morning. Rumel, who's listen to the show. Rommel, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I love your takes on the Denver Broncos.
Big Broncos fan?
I am a big Broncos fan. I went to the Broncos-Eagles game, and offense just not very inspiring for me. I'm hoping for some positive change here in the next few years.
No doubt about it. Who would you like to see quarterback in this team next year?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would like to see, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, but I heard you make the point, what's appealing about coming here, but...
Some things have to get better on that offensive line for people to really get excited. Those guys to be excited about coming to Denver. Yeah. Rommel's here today to talk about the Toy Run with Grand Junction Harley Davidson, and it's Saturday, December 4th. Yep. And take us through this, because, I mean, this is, like I said, 42nd annual Toy Run. The Harley riders have been doing this for a very, very long time, collecting toys to give to the kids during the holiday season.
Exactly. And with last year, Jim, obviously, with COVID, we had a Stuff the Truck event, which we still got a huge outpouring of success from the community from, where we just stuffed the Salvation Army trucks with toys. But now we're looking forward to getting back to normal with the Toy Run, following Santa down Patterson, taking toys to the Salvation Army trucks at Grand Mesa Middle School, dropping off those toys and helping out some kids who might not have a Christmas this year.
Rommel joining us today, Western Slope Hog 42nd Annual Toy Run coming up December 4th. And the registration's from 9 o'clock in the morning to 11:30 at Grand Junction Harley-Davidson. Once again, that's out on Horizon Drive. You get the complimentary cup of coffee and donuts, and then kickstands up, bikes and gear, and we go at noon. And then the after party from 12:30 till 3 o'clock at Warehouse 2565. So chance to do something great for the kids here locally, Rommel, but also time to have a good day hanging out with some of your fellow riders.
Exactly, yeah, and we're asking everyone, right, all bikers here in the Grand Valley, whether you ride Harley, BMW, Indian, to come and, show their support for the community. If you bring that new unwrapped toy and come to registration, get a wristband, that'll be your entry into the after party.
So, Rommel, how did you get involved with this?
I started riding. I started out actually on a Kawasaki Vulcan, and then just slowly crept my way into bigger and better Harleys. I actually just purchased myself a 2021 Ultra Limited. I even rode it today. Ultra, it's out there in the parking lot. So yeah, even though a little cold, put on the leathers and ready to go. But I wanted to do something that that obviously supported the community, but also with people who love and share my love of riding motorcycles.
Talk about Western Slope Hog a little bit. What goes on with the group?
Yeah, so Western Slope Hog, we do nonprofit events for the community, but we also do rides here and around the valley, and then obviously in the area. We have like a poker run that goes out to Moab. We go up to Glenwood Springs and do all the rides around here in the valley, and then again we do things like the toy run and other things to support the community.
Well, I don't have a Harley. VTX 1800 Honda. Do you have a VTX? So
yeah.
It's a fun bike to ride.
Exactly. We'll still throw a Barbie doll or a big teddy bear on and come down and join us.
Sounds good. Western Slope Hog 42nd Annual Toy Run. It is coming up Saturday, December 4th out at Grand Junction Harley-Davidson. Once again, registration from 9 to 11:30 to get those toys for all the kids here in the Valley to Salvation Army and some of those other organizations. Rommel, appreciate you listening to the program. Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
And best of luck with the Toy Run coming up December 4th. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jim.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke joins us next. Talk about Broncos and Chargers. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Locked On Broncos host Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Hey, 26, time to talk Broncos with the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jim. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy almost Thanksgiving, my friend.
Thank you. You too, and everybody at the station. I appreciate all of you and the amazing work that you do every day.
Well, likewise with what you do, helping us stay updated on what the Broncos are doing. I did have a really nice conversation with Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight, and I did bring up whether you picked up the check or not when you guys went to dinner, and Ben was saying that normally he's the guy that picks it up. I said, that's just you being the kind of guy that wants Benjamin to feel good about giving, that you're giving that chance to give every time you guys go out to dinner. So I was applauding you letting him pick up the check.
You know what? He's sneaky with it, too. But, you know, actually, the last time we went, he didn't actually get a chance to. Before he did, Ryan Edwards snuck in and paid it before we were actually able to. So Ryan kind of saved us on that. But, yeah, no, that's how Ben is. Ben's a good dude, and obviously very grateful for him.
Well, some big moves for the Broncos this week. Of course, on Saturday, the extension for Tim Patrick, and then Monday, Cortland Sutton. And, look, George Payton has said, you know, we're going to reward the guys that are here, that are producing on the field. We saw that with Shelby Harris, saw that with Justin Simmons, and now we're seeing this with Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton. Guys that produce are going to stay during the George Payton regime, and you know, once again, this is I think a really good case that illustrates George's commitment to those guys.
Yeah, you know, George Payton, what he talked about too is what he's doing. It's a great culture builder because, you know, previously, and John Elway, I thought, has done a pretty good job as GM in his time. Obviously, he had his issues, you know, as a GM, like every guy does, but he helped lead the Broncos to two Super Bowls and obviously, you know, a lot of the work in between. But the culture under John Elway that many people believe from a player perception, from an agent perception, is that, if you know, even if you play well, if you don't fit the term or the negotiation that John Elway wants in terms of the salary cap, you know, you're not going to get it. We see the market change for various positions every single year, but George Payton has come in, and from the very beginning, he said in his introductory press conference that he believes in building, drafting, and developing homegrown players, and hopefully getting those players second contracts. And that's here where, you know, where we are now with Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. Obviously, his journey coming in, 2017 practice squad player. He gave a lot of fits to Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., and it caught the eye of the coaching staff. And then he started to just increase with his opportunities. He made the most of them. And obviously now he's a rising star in the NFL. What George Payton has done has, I think, told players in that locker room, shown guys like Javonte Williams, Patrick Surtain, hey, if you play well, you know what, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to be taken care of. You're going to be rewarded. And I think it's a great precedent that Payton is setting.
And you look at what Tim Patrick has gone through, undrafted free agent with the Ravens in 2017. You know, and Shelby Harris referenced him. He was a seventh-round pick of the Raiders in 2014. But Denver's the place that gave him the chance. Those two guys developed there. And Tim Patrick has become, you know, really one of the more steady, productive wide receivers in that room right now. It's just nice to see that, you know, guys that, you know, bounced around a little bit, that were kind of cast-offs, have come to Denver, and they have been able to you know, develop their craft, have some, you know, developed into really good football players, and they're being rewarded for that, and they're a big part of the future for this football team.
Huge, yeah. And, you know, one thing, too, I want to mention, and because once draft season comes around, we're going to hear about, well, this guy's a first-round guy, this guy's a second-round guy. You know, I'm a big believer here, Jim, that I don't care where a guy is drafted. You could be a first-round draft pick, and you may not work out. You may be a second-round draft pick. You may not work out. The Broncos have had so much success in recent memory with undrafted guys or late-round guys that really blossomed and developed. And so I always think it's a great reminder for football fans to understand that, you know, it doesn't matter where you're taken as long as you make the most of your opportunity. And these guys, like you mentioned, Shelby Harris, Tim Patrick, they've been given an opportunity to grow and develop, and now look at kind of where they're at. I love to see things like that. And I think everyone gets so caught up in, you know, first-round hype, second-round hype, and things like that. But I think if you have a good system in place, a good culture, and you develop and you're patient with players, I think that you can see some things pay off, because I remember when Shelby Harris wasn't who Shelby Harris was as a Bronco. He was a special teams guy. And we first saw Shelby Harris make a mark in Denver against the LA Chargers. I think it was back in 2017. He blocked a game-winning field goal by Younghoe Koo. And that's really like, hey, who's this Shelby Harris guy? And all of a sudden, he started working his way into the defensive rotation, and now everyone knows who Shelby Harris is. So I love it. I think it's an important thing. And look, I'm just super excited that the Broncos have gone out. They've re-signed Cortland. I thought that was going to be a huge priority for them. Tim Patrick. But even more so, I think everyone's, you know, the thing is, Broncos fans have been like, well, they signed these guys, that's great, but who's going to throw them the football? Right? I think that's a valid question. But I guarantee you, Jim, George Payton, in those conversations after they signed the contract, said, we're going to go out this offseason, we're going to get you a franchise quarterback, and they're going to be aggressive in their pursuit for a guy who can change the game for them, literally on the offensive side of the ball.
Cody Rourke with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. It also works the other way, too, for any of those quarterbacks that they want to bring in. you want a situation where you know who the receiving core is going to be. And a productive receiving core, re-signing Tim, re-signing Cortland, I mean, says to whoever, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, whoever, that look at the weapons, the toys that you're going to have at your disposal when you come to Denver.
Yeah, I think even more, you look at guys like Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, players who are on rookie deals, and you look at the cap hits, too, I think, for both Cortland and Tim. It doesn't impact the Broncos negatively at all. None of the contracts are backloaded or front-loaded. It's an even balance in terms of overall cap hit per season, and that gives the Broncos so much flexibility, which George Payton said earlier this week, we have a lot of flexibility. We're going to have a lot of cap space, and the cap space is going to rise significantly with all the broadcasting deals that we see going on, obviously partnerships with betting programs and companies. I mean, it's going to be a game-changing offseason, I think, for the NFL, and it's going to be a big one for the Denver Broncos, Jim. And they have so much flexibility to do a lot of things. It's going to be fun. So I'm going to tell Broncos country now, be prepared to buckle up for a wild offseason.
Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. A lot of Broncos country, they were upset with the release of when Philip Lindsay and the Broncos, you should say, they parted ways. Philip ends up going to the Houston Texans, and now the Texans have released him. Kind of goes back to Denver maybe making the right decision about Philip Lindsay not staying with the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. I don't want to sound like I'm being hard on Phil, but I think with how Phil has been utilized, you know, in the last couple of years, obviously with Denver, we talk about under the Pat Shurmur offensive system, and we talk about in Houston, they mainly bring him in on running situations, so there's no diversity really in the film right now that showcases that, hey, Phillips can, you know, if this guy's in, they're going to do this. I mean, it's been a very easy tendency to pick up. And so when Phil's in, I mean, players just stack the edge of the line of scrimmage. They pinch the gaps. And it's very hard for Phil to get going. It's nothing against Phil. It's just the way that he's been utilized. You know what, though? I think that wherever he's going to land, I'd be intrigued. New Orleans is a team to keep an eye on right now. They got injuries right now to Alvin Kamara. He's got a knee sprain. They've got Mark Ingram dealing with some knee injuries as well. He could end up there, or he could end up in a team like San Francisco. I think if he's in the right system, he can be utilized really well, and he can get back to being the guy that I think we saw that was really exciting for Broncos country, and absolutely wish Phil the best.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, with us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. The Chargers and Broncos on Sunday on the team with pregame at noon. Chargers right now a game back at Kansas City in the AFC West. But this is a different Chargers team, because typically – the Chargers in close games, they're a team that struggles, and they seem like they find a lot of ways to lose close football games. Looked like that was going to happen against Pittsburgh when they blew a 17-point lead going into the fourth quarter, but they still find the way to get the win. They're 5-3 in one-score games, so Brandon Staley, with this team, they've found a way to win some of those close football games, which is going to go a long way toward them maybe being a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think the entire AFC West is tough. I think the Raiders are kind of on a downward spiral right now. The Broncos kind of sitting in flux, and you look at the Chargers and the Chiefs, and they're playing really well. They have prolific quarterbacks, obviously really good offenses. You know, the thing with the Chargers, you know, you mentioned Brandon Staley. He's really instilled a little bit more of a disciplined culture there. Not to say that Anthony Lynn didn't, but in situations like what we've seen, the Chargers used to panic under Anthony Lynn. Now, this year, I mean, especially when you give up 27 points alone in that fourth quarter, Jim, I mean, I'm pressing the panic button as a media guy or as a fan if I'm rooting on that team, but Brandon Staley had those guys calm, cool, and collected, and nothing changed for them, and they took a shot downfield. Obviously found Mike Williams wide open for a touchdown. It's going to pose a big, you know, a little bit of a challenge here for the Broncos. And one thing, too, everyone's talking about home field advantage. I truly don't believe this year, Jim. I don't think home field advantage exists in the NFL. I mean, we are seeing any given Sunday, every single Sunday, with teams beating teams that we thought on paper, hey, there's no way they're going to beat this team. And it's just been wild. The Chargers are one of those teams that they're very confusing. When you look at some of their games, they lost to a New England Patriots team by 3 points, and I think the New England Patriots might be the most dangerous team in the NFL right now, Jim. I really do. They're playing really good football. Then they lose to the Vikings at home in L.A., and you just have to wonder, like, what is going on with this Chargers football team? And then they come out and then they win against the Steelers. Now, granted, the Steelers' defense was depleted with guys on the COVID list, injuries, things like that. But still, there's some things that, you know, this is an offense that the Chargers have that you can't overlook. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Parham at the tight end position. And then you factor in Guyton from the slot and Austin Ekeler. You have to account for so many guys. going to be a big week for the Broncos, Jim. I'm a little anxious for this game just because I don't know if it could go either way. Which Broncos team is going to show up is the biggest question.
Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast with us today on the Team Sports Network. They did get Derwin James back. Joey Bosa's back as well. But a guy that had a big impact in their win against Pittsburgh, Justin Jones up front. He's played well up front, had a good game, obviously, against Pittsburgh on Sunday. And, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, among them Linville Joseph missing on that defensive line. But Justin Jones, one of those names that you don't hear a lot about, but he's had an impact on what the Chargers have been doing defensively.
Yeah, and you always have to account for that, too, especially with Bosa coming back. Derwin James, they like to do a lot of things with Derwin. He'll play in that two-high look. They'll roll him down in the box. And then, obviously, you talk about the interior. They put him in a one technique. They'll put him in a three technique. He can play multi-versatile on the interior there. I think a big key this week, look, I don't think Garrett Bowles is going to play. Obviously, he tested positive on Monday. Not sure the status yet. We'll find out from Vic Fangio a little bit later on today whether or not he had a negative test. But the belief is that you have to have two negative tests in order to be able to come back to the team facility. Garrett is vaccinated, so the Broncos could be without him this week. And then Bobby Massey, questionable as well, so we could see Cam Fleming and Calvin Anderson at the tackle position here for the Broncos. And outside of that, the offensive line is going to be Dalton Reisner, you're going to have Lloyd Cushenberry center, and then you're going to have Quinn Miners getting started at right guard for the team this week. But I think that the Broncos' plan here, try to attack a guy like Jones, especially on the interior. Here's the deal. The Chargers' run defense is very porous, and this would be the perfect game for them to try to really run the ball with Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams. We need to see more of it, Jim. But I wouldn't be opposed to, look, you just signed two guys to big-time contracts at the wide receiver position. Open up the game and take a shot downfield. They need a target. Teddy Bridgewater needs a target. Cortland and Tim Patrick more than he has been. And I think if the Broncos can find balance between the run, taking some shots downfield with those guys, I think they have a good chance to win on Sunday.
All right, we'll have the game this Sunday. Pre-game at noon, 2:05 kickoff. Broncos and the L.A. Chargers. Cody, have a very happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
All right, Cody Rourke. Make sure to check out the Locked On Broncos podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. All right, 8:39, and Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche, coming up in just a moment. Let's go ahead and we'll pass on four down territory for right now.
Okay.
Because we want to get plenty of time in with Connor. We'll maybe work that in on the back half after we talk with Connor.
Yeah, that works. We have some breaking NFL news right now.
So this from Pro Football Talk. We've referenced the NFL and the St. Louis settlement, confirming that the Rams relocation litigation has indeed been settled for $790 million. Now, what does that mean, though? Do they get the favored nation status, yeah, as we've talked about? Will they end up getting the next NFL expansion franchise? Is that part of this deal? That remains to be seen.
That was tweeted out 3 minutes ago by PFT. So not really any hard and fast news just yet.
Okay.
It's been settled.
All right. So Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. Hopefully you're serving it at your dinner table tomorrow for Thanksgiving. Got something to complain about today? Send it to us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee, on The Team.
And with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line from the Concave, Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche. Good morning, Connor. How are you?
Back in the Concave. Good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Happy almost Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there as well.
So for Connor McGahee, what's the one thing you have to have at Thanksgiving on the table? What's the one thing you could live without?
Have to have stuffing.
Okay.
Could do without. Not a huge cranberry guy.
See, you can tell you're a fight 970. I'm just right with you. Never been a big cranberry fan. I mean, like,
no.
Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Okay, I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. Cranberries? Ah, no, thank you.
Yeah, unnecessary. I feel like
I agree.
There are so many other delicious things that we can enjoy, like, you know, about a pint and a half of gravy.
Absolutely, could never gravy to me is the glue guy.
Yeah,
gravy brings it all together.
Yep, exactly. He is the glue guy in the locker room, gravy, for sure.
Yeah, you don't want the cranberries that have the imprint of the can still on them on the table. It's not.
We all know somebody who has that. Turn the can upside down, right on the plate. There you go. Dig in.
Kerplunk.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, kerplunk. There you go. It's your Cranberry.
There
enjoy.
You go. Merry Thanksgiving, kid.
Enjoy it, boys and girls. Have a good time with that canned cranberry. You're lucky you're getting that.
How do we turn into Brian Regan all of a sudden
on
the show?
I'm not sure. We just kind of went down that path.
That was my fault. That was my bad.
No, that's okay. So who, like Gravy, who would be the glue guy for the Avalanche right now?
Nice segue.
Thank you.
Good question. I mean, I think everyone is gelling kind of equally.
That's good.
I mean, you look at common threads, to success. Okay, who's been in, who's contributed during this whole thing? I mean, Valanciunas has been in the lineup 6 games this year. The Avalanche are 6-0, right? So, he does things that are really hard to duplicate and makes a big impact on the game all the time. I think when you're talking about Vile all time, and this is game number 350 for him tonight. 127 of those have come with the Avalanche. All-time, the Avs are 83, 32, and 11 when Valanciunas is in the lineup. So it's hard not to point to him. It's hard not to point to Devon Taves, who's been a plus in all 6 games that he's played in this season. If you go to the end of last regular season, Taves had been a plus in 10 consecutive games. At plus 17, he's already a plus 10 this season. So guys like that make a huge impact for a team, especially when you're missing two of your top centers up front.
Kael McCarr is of late, a little bit of a Gravy guy, glue guy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was trying not to state the obvious there, right? I mean, he's the first defenseman in franchise history to have multi-goal games in back-to-back affairs. And the only one defenseman since 85-86 and two, I think, all time, going back to 1930, that have done it in 3 consecutive games. That other defenseman was a guy named Paul Coffey, which I think we're all aware of.
He was pretty good, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
I think he was okay.
He was pretty. Didn't he play with that 99 guy, that Gretzky guy? Didn't
he
play with
him a little bit? The great white shark or whatever his name
whatever
is.
Whatever that guy's name was, exactly.
Right.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. They've scored 31 goals in 5 games. It's a good thing that the Avalanche score a lot of goals, because like the other night against Ottawa, they gave up a lot of goals. They win 7-5, and Newhook, of course, scored the eventual game winner for the Avalanche the other night. But they had a little bit of a stretch here where the puck scoring's been plentiful, but on occasion there's been some turnovers. I know Jared Bednar talked about that the other night, been like, "Ooh, we got to do a better job taking care of the puck." And fortunately, they're playing the Seattles of the world, the Ottawas, the Vancouvers, where that has not come back to bite them like it might against somebody else.
Absolutely. And I think they know that, too. They know that they can score their way out of trouble when you get against teams like that. And those are games that you should win. All 5 of these games, if you look on a schedule, should have been W's. And if Anaheim didn't have the ridiculous start to the season that they had, they would probably say 6 in a row. It'll be tougher tonight because the Ducks are a better team than they were last year when they had the worst power play since it was started to be tracked back in the 70s and the second worst team in the National Hockey League. But when you go against better teams, I mean, it's human nature, isn't it? We talk about it all the time. You play to the level of your opponent, and when you know that the opposition may not be a great team, then you feel like, okay, well, we are the Stanley Cup favorites. We can handle this, no problem. And you maybe let some of your habits slip away. And that's just human nature. You don't do that on purpose. It just sort of happens that way. So I expect them to take note of that, and especially after last game, to be better defensively, because Darcy Kuemper, not his best night. So you had turnovers that led to scoring chances, and Ottawa converted on pretty much every single one of them. So that was kind of an anomaly in a lot of areas for the Avalanche, and I expect them to be much better with the puck going forward here.
Connor McGahee, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us. Avs and Anaheim tonight right here on the team. Connor will have the call with pregame at 6:30. And tonight we're going to see a couple of league's top scorers. Nazem Kadri, after a great start, fourth in the league right now with 23 points. Troy Terry, former DU Pioneer, currently sixth in the league with 22 points. So a couple of guys have got off to fast starts for both the Avalanche and the Ducks.
Yeah, and Troy Terry had his 16-game point streak come to an end in Nashville the other night. Speaking of point streaks coming to an end, Connor McDavid didn't have a point in Dallas last night, so that means that Nazem Kadri has the league's longest point streak at 9 games, which is 3 more than anybody else. So, yeah, you're going to see players who have just been feeling about as confident as you can feel, and Troy Terry, which is nice to see because we saw him play around here. Sorry, let me rephrase that. It's nice to see for every other game except when they're playing the Avalanche. But for Troy Terry individually, I mean, there was some doubt if Anaheim should even move on from him because of his slow start to his career there. And I think it's a good thing that they didn't, because that's a key piece of the future, along with Trevor Zegras. He's got 4 goals his last 4 games after a slow start, and Team USA all the way. But yeah, Troy Terry has turned into a prominent piece that is really, along with Ryan Getzlaff, who's sort of come back to life a little bit, brought Anaheim back into the limelight. They're in a playoff spot at the moment.
Right now, Anaheim third in the Pacific, 10-6-3. The Avalanche 9-5-1. They're currently fourth in the Central Division, riding the 5-game winning streak. Once again, we'll have the game tonight, pregame at 6:30. Connor McGahee joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I want to ask about your trip to Seattle, because you get your first chance to see Climate Pledge Arena for the Seattle Kraken. There's been a lot of rave reviews about that arena. I guess just your takeaway on what you saw up there and kind of the environment for that Seattle franchise.
Yeah, I mean, the building itself, and those of us who have watched sports in this region for a long time, I mean, I couldn't go in there without thinking about Dikembe Mutombo.
Sure.
Right down on the with the ball on his forehead, down on the floor there at the old Key Arena. And when you look at the structure, they kept the structure, of course, on the outside the same. All the inside is completely new. Video screens really, really everywhere. It's a complicated concourse. Like, it's not easy to navigate. I almost needed a map to get around when I took my walk at practice there on Thursday. But that's where, you know, when you remodel a building, it's those things where you want to, you know, you want to get everything in. You want to have everything as nice as possible. But, you know, instead of a new construction, it's hard to do that. So not bad at all. Good view from the booth. We were joking about the fact that they had a really tall stool in there and a really short chair. There was no sort of in between. So me, who sits at 5'8", I was in no man's land there trying to call the game, but we made it work. And yeah, Avs really enjoyed their time there with a 7-goal output versus the Kraken in their first ever game.
Connor McGahee with us on the Team Sports Network. One final thing here, Connor. In regard to Nathan MacKinnon, what is the latest on Nathan and his possible return?
Well, he was back on the ice in a non-contact sweater in morning skate 2 days ago. And Jared Bednar said yesterday that Byram Kaut and Francouz will go on this upcoming road trip through Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Philly, and New York. Just to start getting reps in. He did not put Nathan MacKinnon in that category, so we'll see. But he has been on the ice. He has been skating in a red non-contact sweater. So when you see a player do that, that's always a good sign, especially when it's a lower body injury. He's trying to work back and get to the level that he wants to be at. So we'll see if that continues to be the case, as morning skate is about 90 minutes from now at Ball Arena.
All right, we'll have the game tonight. Connor will have the call for a game at 6:30. The Avalanche take on Anaheim over Ball Arena. Connor, have a great day tomorrow. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. Best to you and yours, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, happy Thanksgiving to everybody here in the Fightin' 970.
Absolutely. Connor, take care, man.
You too. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. Connor McGahee, voice of the Avalanche. The leader of the Fightin' 970s. Give him the leadership role.
Standard
there.
Bear. Yep.
And we'll just follow him.
Give him a flag. I understand. Being 5'8 myself, we need something a little taller.
A little bit of a challenge. That's You know, usually, like with my height situation, the problem is if it's a short booth.
Yeah.
That's when there's the problem of, okay, but you can sit down and you're usually fine. Mm-hmm. But if you like to stand to call the game, it tends to be.
Yep.
Florence, the Palisade-Florence game. State title game the one year. Greg Wenzel's about 6'7", mm-hmm. in that range. I'm 6'3 and a half, 6'4-ish. The booth height, we both, and there really wasn't a place to sit down. We had to stand. It was, we both ended up kind of crouching down. Greg in particular really ended up kind of crouching down a little bit. All right, next hour, we'll talk with Altitude Nuggets reporter Katie Wenge, also CSU voice Brian Roth next hour. We'll have a Know Your Enemy coming up.